Hey, good day, everybody. This is We Watch Stuff number 128. I am Jeremy. Joining me, as always, is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves. Last time we talked, I got T-Bone and got no justice from the law. I like to report, if you can't get justice from the law, you got to get justice through finance. So I am proud to be an owner of a new Audi.
Yeah, that's still, like, that whole situation still, I've actually told other people about that, and none of it made any sense to them. And I was like, yeah, it literally doesn't make any sense.
You know what makes less sense? I thought about that story when Jim Ross tweeted about how the person that was involved in his wife's car accident basically got off.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, and that was a death involved. And it's like, oh, well, you know, I guess we can't do it. See, it's, yeah. Like, you know, it's, I don't want to really go down that path on the show. I want to have a pleasant show, but yeah. So, went to the dealership. I made an appointment for like 1:30, got there 1:45. She, you know, yeah, what you looking for? Told her what happened. Got a test drive, drove well. When I figured out how to drive it. Yeah, for anybody that thinks like a car is just a car, that is correct up to a certain price point. Once you go into luxury, a car no longer becomes a car. A car becomes like a jet. Like, I couldn't even figure out how to put the damn thing in park. You know, so I can just imagine like how normal people who aren't like technologically savvy just get around doing that if they're not used to it. But, you know, car runs very smooth. I can see why people speed driving those type of things, because I'm just minding my business cruising and I'm going like high 80s and it didn't even feel like it.
Yeah, it's funny. I'll drive Elisa's car and she just has a Hyundai Sonata. I mean, my car is going on 11 years old. I got it right before WrestleMania in Detroit. And, I mean, I don't have Bluetooth. I don't have basic ass stuff like Bluetooth or a display. It's a CD, one CD changer, and yeah, that's it. So I get in hers. Whenever we drive long distance, we take hers now. I looked down one day. I was doing 85 miles an hour, and it didn't feel like it at all. I was like, "This is insane." So I'm like, "No, we got to make sure." And I've never liked cruise control because I like being in control too much. And it's like, no, I don't know what I'd do with a new car. I mean, especially one like you've got. Did I ask you if it had missiles or whatever? Or some smart-ass thing like that?
No, you said I need to wear it. Since it's the same car from the transport, I have to wear a suit and glasses everywhere I go.
Well, there's probably some other stuff you should probably do, too.
I mean,
do not speed.
I mean, it might as well have missiles. It has everything else. Like, it's funny you see those commercials about, you know, sensors and radar and everything. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that thing can read signs. Some places, and it's not here yet, I know it's in a few cities, it can tell you traffic lights when the green turns to red, when the red turns to green.
Wow.
Like, yeah. When I was getting out my driveway, I'm looking to my left and right. I'm about to get out, and all of a sudden I heard a beep, like zzz, zzz. And then all of a sudden, look back, like, my back radar picked up a car to zoom out of nowhere, so I went and, like, run into it before I even got a chance to see it. Like, yeah, it helps having radar in the car. You had never thought something simple like that. Like, because people, they just use your eyes. Sometimes your eyes won't see anything. The car pick up stuff before my eyes do. And it definitely makes driving a lot safer. And fun, because I feel like, you know, I feel like Jason Statham, just cruising in my car. Can barely feel anything, just zooming on down, so.
Yeah, did it come with a glove box, optional hidden gun case?
Probably in the higher model, if I wanted that.
Yeah, I don't think you'd probably want that one, though. So, anyways, well, I'm glad you have a safe ride now. So, yes. Especially when it snows down there. Well, yes, you guys haven't gotten any snow down there, have you?
Oh no! The first day I drove the car, we got a little bit of snow. It was a snow day the day after a holiday. So nice. I'm like, of course I would have a new car when it's snowing in Texas and no one knows how to drive when everyone's getting back from MLK. Like that's just my luck. So
that's what you just put it in the garage for a couple days. Yeah, I dodged this bullet. Why bother going out in the field again and risking it? But So we were off last week. Nothing really huge came out, really. Like, no giant, no significant news. A lot of little stories, and really, I guess we'll start with this, just to get this out of the way, maybe help me warm up. Next Monday is Raw 25, 25 years of Monday Night Raw, which for wrestling, fast forward 10, 15 minutes, guys, and we'll be done. There's a significant presence of older wrestlers, and some that I'm just like, okay, whatever, but then others, you're like, yeah, of course they're going to be there. When they announced Jericho, that was a surprise. Not a lot's been made of Steve Austin being there. And I can't remember the last time in ring he was actually in WWE, outside of a WrestleMania environment.
Yeah, it's probably tough enough.
Oh, my God, really? Was it that long ago?
Yeah. It probably was that, if we're not counting WrestleManias or pay-per-views, then that's the last one I remember was tough enough.
Well, that's crazy. But it's like, they just kind of offhandedly said, Stone Cold Steve Austin, like he was any other wrestler.
Well, they did have him last, so.
True. And then they worked in Jericho. Kevin Nash has had to pull out because of his knee surgery, or knee replacement. They said Scott Hall will be there. I guess Sean Waltman, like all of DX, will be there. Brian James is already there. I guess China won't be, but, you know, can't have everything, I guess. Eric Bischoff, that was one that kind of surprised me, but I guess he is actually a very important piece of this. And then I started going down, like, other wrestlers who should be there. A lot of them are dead.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, obviously. But then I started getting into other wrestlers that I've missed this. Maybe they're just going to use them as surprises. But one that stood out, and no, it's not Hulk Hogan. One that stood out to me is Batista. Now, he may be off filming some Marvel movie or whatever he's doing, but he was a significant part of that after the Attitude Era generation. And then also, he's a big-ass movie star now. I mean, we're not talking rock levels, but you get Batista on that show. I mean, you get him on that show somehow.
Yeah, I think the second part is probably the reason why he's not there, because he's a big-time movie star who's busy, and the last time he was there probably didn't really end all that well or went all that well, which was really no fault of his own. So, and they tend to have like a kind of, you know, standoffish relationship. Like, you don't really hear them hyping up Batista like that when he does movies compared to how they hype up everybody else. So I don't know if it's bad blood or it's like he's doing his thing, we're doing our thing. But yeah, that's definitely a surprise one, because people tend to forget. When him and Cena were getting a push, he was ahead of Cena for a while. Like, you know, he was the one that got the win to the Royal Rumble and not Cena. His match went on last, not Cena. So that tells you, you know, that kind of tells you how highly they thought Batista. And like you said, he was a huge part of Raw for a long time. Even though, if you honestly, he's probably almost as much a SmackDown guy as a Raw guy. When you think about it, because like, soon as he won the title from Triple H, he was there for a month, then went to SmackDown, and he didn't go back to Raw for what, 5 years, 6 years, more or less.
That's true, but I mean, he really got his. Well, I mean, he even had his debut on SmackDown. But then he really was like a significant part of Raw, though. Yeah. I mean, his entire face turn, Evolution, obviously, but his entire face turn took place on Raw. It just happened to be he moved over to SmackDown. But even then, man, I mean,
it's still weird, somebody as big as him, and it's not like he's dead or he's working for another company, and they don't even mention his name. So maybe if it's a surprise, that would definitely be a surprise, but I don't know if he's busy.
Yeah. I'm trying to find something, but nothing. I would just think, just for the publicity, just because, you know, he's going to be in a gigantic movie coming out in May. Now, maybe that's on his part that, you know, he'd want to be there to promote, but does Avengers really need promoting? I don't really know what else he's doing right now, but
Other movies?
Yeah.
Like, he's always working. I know he's in that Stallone movie, Escape Plan 2.
Oh, that's true, yes.
I know he's doing some other stuff. Like, he's always doing stuff. Like, if it's Netflix movies, small movies, big movies, like, he's always working.
Well, apparently not Raw 25. But then there's also a couple other names. Edge isn't going to be there. I guess he's filming Vikings, so he's overseas. Rumor is Christian hasn't been asked to be there. And it's like, I guess, and unfortunately for him, he's always been tied to Edge. Even though he had a successful run on his own, it's always Edge and Christian with him.
Yeah, but like it's the same thing in a small extent with Batista. Like his single stuff was SmackDown. Like his Raw stuff is tied to Edge or tied to Jericho. And Edge not being there is like, it would look weird. I know it's a shame, there's no fault of his own, but it would look weird for him to be on Raw and Edge not to be on Raw. It's the same way kind of how they had the Dudley boys there. Like if they just had D-Von Dudley and not Bubba Ray, that would seem like, why?
Yeah. Bret Hart, they haven't mentioned him at all, which for me is 50-50.
Yeah, I thought they did, but come to think of it, they didn't, which was surprising. Because they mentioned Flair, they mentioned Shawn Michaels, they didn't mention Bret Hart.
Yeah,
so
I mean, that was a huge part. And I don't know, maybe this part of this era in WWE's history is purposely being, I don't want to say forgotten.
No, but, I mean, you couldn't do that, but then have Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and they got like DiBiase and all of them showing up.
Yeah,
so
yeah, because and Bret Hart was champion even before like the Attitude Era.
Yeah, like it's kind of hard to say, you know, like Bret Hart was there from Raw 1.
Yeah,
like he was there like from Jump Street, and you know, of course you're gonna have Undertaker there because he's Undertaker, but Bret Hart was like basically the man post Hogan till Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin. It would definitely look funny, like, you know, oh, this Raw, all this history, our champion that was there the first few years of Raw, he's just, you know, moose hunting in Canada.
Yeah.
I don't know who that guy is.
Or just not being there. I mean, you know, Bret, I know, like, the story is supposed to be that everything's reconciled and they're all good in this, but I don't know, man.
I mean yeah, because it's like he's been there since then. He's even showed up at NXT for, like, matches with Natalya when she wrestled Charlotte. So he's been on WWE TV since the whole
last time, right? Oh no, he introduced Sami Zayn.
Yeah. So it's like I don't think it's any bad. It might just be a scheduling thing, or it might be one of those surprise. Oh, look who showed up, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Yeah, and that's what I think some of these maybe still.
Yeah, like you said, just because they didn't mention the name doesn't mean that they won't be there. Although it's going to be a lot of speculation because that's what people do saying on who shows up and who doesn't show up. Do they have beef or anything like that? I've already heard the funny stuff saying, oh, Jericho's going to be there. Is he going to get jumped by Kenny Omega on Raw? I'm like, no.
No.
He's not going to get jumped. He's not going to get jumped by Kenny Omega on Raw. So,
okay,
that sounds nice. That's not going to happen.
So, all right, it's not going to happen. Let's go with that because that's not. But what if it did? How insane would that be?
See, don't do that. So,
well, no, isn't Jericho Omega's done? Now they're already on to Jericho Tanahashi. So that'd be even more insane if it was Tanahashi.
I mean,
but that's not going to happen either.
Not Tanahashi, Naito.
Naito, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got that. I didn't think it sounded right, but I'm trying to think who else. Rey Mysterio, but
he kind of. It's funny where. For a long time, they didn't even talk about him. Then they mentioned his name on TV. Like, they still mention him a lot on WWE TV. But it's like, he's too busy making money. So, yeah.
And also,
I don't think it's like bad.
Is anyone really clamoring for him to come back to WWE?
You know what? Yeah. The funny thing is, I think Rey Mysterio is one of the most underrated wrestlers, period.
Sure.
Like people tend to forget, like, how good he was, how good he still is. He was basically the pioneer for, like, cruiserweights in America, and he's still wrestling, having good matches, making money. But it's kind of like almost like him, like Rob Van Dam is like they just out of sight, out of mind. At least I can see Rob Van Dam because he doesn't even wrestle that much. Mysterio still wrestles and gets paid, but it's just a funny thing where you don't really talk about him. Like no one says, "Oh, it'd be cool if Rey Mysterio would be on Raw, or wrestle matches on SmackDown." Although it's like if you thought about it. Yeah, it would be cool. He'd have a lot of good matches with a lot of people in WWE right now. I think it's the fact that he's just so old. People tend to not think of him as like... It's like he's old, but he's not legend old. he's like in that weird spot where almost like Jericho, except for Jericho has come back, done enough stuff and then left. Mysterio left the WWE and never came back. And they didn't even mention him for a few years, and now it's like, oh, Shay's a Rey Mysterio. Where's Rey Mysterio? I don't know. And they keep him moving.
Yeah, and wasn't Impact trying to sign him? I think.
we're about paying their light bill.
Well, shit, the way they were losing wrestlers left and right. I mean, they just lost 4, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
EC3, Lashley, Laurel Van Ness, and somebody else. Oh, well. Like major people on their TV product. That's not about them, so, oh well. Just trying to think of some other major ones. Not even major, but just going back through the history, like, a lot of people's memories of Raw are going to be all the Attitude Era stuff. So it's like Val Venus' name wasn't mentioned. Which, you know, take it or leave it, but just going through the history of the show, Val Venus was all over the place. For, what, 2 years maybe? Year and a half, and then he went to the not Truth Commission. What am I thinking of?
Pete, the right to censor.
That's it. So, I don't know. But at what point does a 3-hour show that has to promote Royal Rumble as well?
Yeah, because it's the show right before Royal Rumble. I mean, it's kind of like, I laugh when they mention The Godfather.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, yeah, the Hall of Famer, The Godfather, which is still, even though it's like, that just shows you why the Attitude Era, like, it was great and horrible, because one of the biggest memories and probably one of the biggest stars of the Attitude Era is The Godfather. He probably never had one good match, but you tell anybody who watched wrestling back then, they definitely remembered him. Like, he was a big part of all during that time frame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he went from being Kama. Yeah, it was Kama, right?
Yes.
The Ultimate Fighting Machine.
First he was Papa Shango, He was Kama. Yeah, then he was, I mean, that count because that was on Raw too.
God,
then he was Kama, the Ultimate Fight Machine. Then he was Kama Mustafa when he was with the Nation. And then he showed up, they call him the Godfather. And then he started dressing like a pimp. And then, boom, right before he joined the Right to Censor.
what do you think he's got on people? That's what my brain always goes to. That, like, what does he have on somebody in WWE?
Nothing. He was a good talent. He was probably good locker room guy.
Yeah.
And he one of the best friends of the Undertaker.
Which, do you ever see those old pictures? What was Bone Crusher Crew or something?
Mm-hmm.
It was Taker, Savio Vega, Godfather, Henry Godwin, JBL, and Ron Simmons, I think?
Something like that. And it was like one other person. And it's kind of like, you know, we were part of the crew. Nobody really talked about it. And they had, like, tattoos and stuff. It was like, yeah, it's just weird. Like, that time frame is just weird when you think about it in hindsight. Like, you think of, like, somebody like Yokozuna. You see him in the ring. And then it's like the story is like, yeah, he used to blast rap music on the bus. It's like that. Knowing, seeing the Usos and seeing Rikishi now, that's easy to believe. But thinking that back then is like, that does not sound like it makes any sense whatsoever. But that's one of the beauty things of wrestling. It's kind of like people who you wouldn't think be friends are friends. Like, if you look at The Click and you think of all of them, why would Triple H really be friends with Sean Waltman like that?
Yeah.
Like, they have nothing in common personality-wise besides they probably both love wrestling. But everything you know about them doesn't seem like that would be a fit at all. And yet, it is what it is.
Yeah. I've often wondered that if there wasn't wrestling, like, what would any of them have in common? Nothing. At that time, and even now, well, maybe now Shawn Michaels and Triple H would have something in common.
Not really. I mean, Shawn Michaels, a country boy that hunts and fish. Triple H was just a work guy who worked out and didn't drink.
Well,
so,
see, I was going with family. I was going with, like, the family aspect of it. They both are family men now. That's where I was going with, like, nowadays they'd have that in common at least. But it's funny when even Kevin Nash even says the same thing about, like, Shawn Michaels. Like, wow, when did this happen? Because that wasn't even in his character, which shows you how incredible these guys can be at making you believe what they are. Because, I mean, well, maybe he was that way too when he was all drugged up and whatever else, you know, he was that character, like, for real. Kind of like, well, kind of like Ric Flair, I guess, but, and now it's just this dude that goes hunting. And what, I don't know if he even does it anymore. I know he's coaching at the Performance Center, but...
Yeah, I know he last time, he just finished doing a Marine movie with The Miz.
Yeah.
which is just hilarious, like, Shawn Michaels is co-starring for The Miz.
And like, Becky Lynch.
But it's kind of like he's getting second billing to The Miz. Like, it's... The Miz is living a... It's funny, if you really think about it, who has lived a more charming life than The Miz? Like, he's a man that had a dream as a kid and made it to reality. Like, he made it. He's really got the career CM Punk wishes he had. Just think about that.
And the other thing is, we're supposed to boo him. Like, I can kind of understand this. I mean, Miz pretty much says even the same thing. I mean, he does all these things. I know we're supposed to boo the guy for it, but it's like, well, no. I remember when you were the guy that couldn't remember your lines. And now, you've married up. I mean, you're above your pay grade with that thing. So, yeah, tell me again why I'm supposed to boo this guy. But...
You know the funny thing? We always say that, like, why? Is he really? People say, you know, he out kicking his coverage. I'm like, he's handsome. He's got money. He's in shape. He's like a WWE star. Like, you know, yeah, she's gorgeous, but I'm sure he could find another gorgeous woman with his pedigree.
True.
I mean, it's kind of easy. Like, you see how she looks, and then you think, like, oh, the Miz is a goofball. It's like, Miz is a rich, handsome, athletic dude that's famous. Like, he really don't have to settle. Like, when you look at it that way and forget the whole can he pull off a German suplex nonsense, it's like, yeah, he's not – it's more of a mess than you think. And he probably – and it's the funny thing we talked about before, and we got guys, you know, end up on this part. I remember when they had a skit backstage, and she was saying something about – he was like, yeah, you laughing now, but one day you're going to wish you on my side when I had the belt, and maybe I'll give you a chance. Like, he – basically talking cash junk, like, maybe you're lucky one day, I'll let you be my girl. And she had this look like, wow, that's something I didn't see. And then you find out later, then, like, they started dating, and then they got married. It was like, like, I wonder if, like, you know, she saw something right there. It's like, okay, he's not gonna be a pushover, maybe it's something there. And because, like, stranger things happen before, you know, people say, oh, storyline, yada yada yada, that's all cute. Like, you know, I couldn't imagine somebody like Brie Bella, like, what was she seeing? Like, Daniel Bryan. That could make sense on TV as they got married with a kid. It's like, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. On that note, let's go to surprises. This surprised me, and you didn't even know. Amazon is cleaning house of different television shows. Most are by the same producer, which, why would they have that in front of me? You know. But one of the casualties of this is Jean-Claude Van Damme. I almost called him Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Jean-Claude Van Damme, his show was gone. After one season, which I have not watched yet, I'm fully, you know, transparent on this. I enjoyed the hell out of the pilot, though. They got rid of Tig Notaro's One Mississippi. Never heard of it. Jill Soloway's I Love Dick. Nope. Jean-Claude Van Johnson, which I honestly would not have heard of if it wasn't for you. They're all by the same producer, which they are burying in this story. So there's that. But one of the reasons they want to have bigger cross-market shows like Game of Thrones to get people to come to Amazon to watch instead of what they consider niche shows. They want more shows like A Man in the... High Castle? I said Iron Castle. But my thing here, that reasoning doesn't make sense to me, because do you think people actually get Amazon Prime on its own just for the TV?
No, I think they get Amazon Prime for shipping, and if they happen to see a show, then they'll watch the show.
Yeah.
Like, even, I mean, besides, like, Transparent and The Man, The Iron Castle, like, it's not a whole bunch of shows. People say, oh, I watch the Amazon Prime, like, because that's not when you think about, because even Hulu kind of had the same thing. Like, The Runaways was the first Hulu show I watched. Like, normally, like, when I think of like network shows that's not on the network, I always default to Netflix, just because like they kind of did it first. Well, I can see where Amazon's coming from, because it's like, you know, I want to get a slice of that pie. If Netflix can do it, I can do it. And it's not like Netflix is, I mean, it's not like, you know, Amazon's fighting for money. Jeff Bezos is walking around the richest man in the world, so he's got money to burn. And a lot of people with money burn saying, you know, why let somebody else get something if I can get it myself? And they see what's like Netflix is getting in the movie business, where they're throwing, before it's like, okay, we'll have a show here or there. It's cheaper to have our own shows than renting other people's shows, other people's movies. And now they've opened it up with movies where people talk about, you know, Bright. It's like enough people watched it where they felt it was worth it. Enough people watch Adam Sandler movies that they throw him boatloads of money, and Chris Rock boatloads of money, and Dave Chappelle, like, you know, do three or four shows, we'll give you $50 million. Either they on drugs or something where they feel like we get enough eyeballs that it works. It may be both, but it's kind of like that's the idea they're having, and it's showing that Hollywood's changing. The movie industry is changing. TV shows are changing. It's kind of like you got to find your niche, get in where you fit in, or you're going to get slaughtered by these big-time companies.
And that's the thing with me is, with Amazon's money, shouldn't they be producing, if they're very serious about this, shouldn't they be producing movies, which we liked it or not, Bright, Adam Sandler movies, which people go and watch, all these television shows? Amazon's got a boatload more money than Netflix probably ever have.
I mean, they have. We just haven't really talked about it. Like, they've been, like, produced. They've done some movie stuff, or they've been producers in movie things that's been, like, you know, on the screen for, like, a couple weeks before going to Amazon Prime, or just a regular movie to begin with. It just hasn't, like, it's kind of like they've done it, people talked about it, and stopped talking about it. So, like, I'm sure they have a plan, because it's like you don't get where you get by accident.
True.
And I'm sure they see what Netflix is doing. I know they definitely see what, you know, Marvel is doing, and DC, and I'm sorry, Disney is doing. It's kind of like, yeah, we got to kind of get in there, or we're going to get swept aside. And there's been rumbles and rumors. Like, Apple, for the longest, has been talking about getting into the movie TV business, too. And they have more money than almost anybody. So it's like people kind of seeing how the tea leaves are going, and they feel like they need to kind of get a head start. Or like you said before, if you don't do it, somebody else will do it, and then you'll be wondering why I didn't do it first.
Yeah, well, I have not watched Man in the High Castle. Have you watched it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's been 2 seasons. I watched both seasons.
Worth watching? I'm guessing it's worth watching then.
I will say it's worth watching with a caveat. It's something I've kind of noticed where I don't even know it's a fault of the show or just how things are. It puts you into the bad position where you're rooting for the bad guys. Mm. And especially in a time, and like that show feels different now, where people in real life are saying, you know, Nazis aren't that bad. Like, had this show came out like the early mid-2000s, like, whatever. It's like a show, dystopian history, stuff like that. You're not supposed to take it seriously. Now, it has like a certain sour edge to it, and it's not the show's fault. It's just the kind of thing, like, the way the show is set up, you can see yourself saying, oh, you know, if I got to choose between the two sides, you know, maybe the Nazis, at least stuff's orderly, maybe the Nazis aren't that bad. Whenever you think that, it's kind of like you knew you took a wrong turn. And that, I mean, you can't talk about this show and ignore that part. And like, that's a part of the show. And that's one of the reasons why we haven't talked about, you know, like Confederate was the whole thing. It's like, you really want a show where you're trying to sympathize with people that should have no sympathy whatsoever, like in real life. And you can't say it's just a TV show when people are doing that in real life and they're using the justification from TV shows. Like, and that's the reason why entertainment is so powerful. People are influenced by entertainment. People get a lot of cultures from other places solely from entertainment, so that has an impact. That's why even now when I'm about that show, it's like, it's a well done show, but it's not necessarily an enjoyable show.
Okay, like I said, I haven't seen it, but I know Amazon was really promoting that as like their high end, like almost like this is our show, you know?
Yeah.
So, that seems to be like the kind of, what's it, boutique show? I guess. That they're trying to promote. Like that's what they're getting rid of all these other things for. Yeah. Is a show like that. And it's funny you mentioned Confederate, and I already forgot about that thing. I don't see that coming out, but
yeah, maybe we'll see. Everybody wants to have their Game of Thrones without forgetting the fact that Game of Thrones wasn't really Game of Thrones. Like that was a people tend to forget now, huh? It's like that show, The Walking Dead, is like under normal circumstances, it's no way in the world those shows have been successful as they were.
Yeah.
Because those type of shows were never successful at all throughout history, and somehow they just became what they became. So now, like, we need to get this phenomenon. So, like, that's not something you can force. It just happens. Like, you just do a good show, and you just hope it naturally happens. And either it happens or not. You can't just make a show great because you say it's great. Like, as good as Westworld is, it's not going to become this great show until people allow it to be. Just because you have a whole bunch of commercials and hire everybody in Hollywood that's not doing a movie right now, it doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, as good as Game of Thrones. Like, Game of Thrones had to grow into that. And I think Amazon's whole thing is like, yeah, I think it's Amazon or some network is having some similar show where it's something about, like, medieval times when Rome is invading Europe, like the Celtic area, and it's fighting like magicians and women or something. I don't remember if it's Amazon or some network. It's a show coming out soon that's kind of like that. And I was thinking about that when you told me about the shows Amazon's canceling. Like, everybody's that whole thing, like, oh, we see Game of Thrones, we see Vikings, we see these shows, let's do that too. And I always cynically say, a lot of people like doing those shows because you can have it in a historical time frame and just have all white people and then not, and then say, oh, well, you know, black people didn't exist back then, so what are you complaining about? Even though they did. So I always laugh when they do shows like that.
Well, I mean, with Game of Thrones, it's kind of hard to say black people don't exist, though, or didn't exist, because, well, it's a fantasy world, you know? guys, you might want to rethink. You might want to rethink that one. But
yeah, like I laugh when they like some BBC people complain about some BBC shows. I'm like, oh, they had black people during the Roman times. That doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, Rome's had black emperors before, like in real life. Like, I don't know why people like the Roman Empire spread from Africa to Great Britain. Africa was, you know, last time I checked back then, it wasn't like Africa just that got black people in like the 1800s. Like, they were black back then too. So I don't know why people thought that like black people didn't exist. Like, you watch Spartacus and you never complained about that, but you watch some other historical drama and then it's like, oh, this is social justice war nonsense.
But you know what's funny about that though? I can actually not sympathize, but I can actually understand that. And it goes back to something you just said. To where people get a lot of their entertainment or ideas, whatever, from watching, you know, watching TV, watching movies, and all that. And then you go back a little bit and look at the old movies like Spartacus, or, well, hell, not even that. Look at what's the one that just came out, Ridley Scott one with Christian Bale in it. Gods and Emperors? No.
Gods and, yeah, Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, just look at that, too. And then, I've actually thought about this. You go back to those old movies, and it was just white people playing every part. So that eventually, for people who don't, you know, people, one, didn't have access to information. Two, they didn't care, and that's all they saw going forward. So it's like, I can actually kind of, not, you know, actually understand that point of view a little bit, to where there's got to be a divide to where you go, listen, you should know better now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposedly in an information age.
Yeah.
But then those people, then their parents also pass that shit along too, and you're like, well, all right. But
here's the thing. I can see the excuses back then.
Yeah.
But you can't do that now. It's the whole thing is like, people know better. You would think people know better now, but it's kind of like, we still live in a world, and I didn't pass this story on. It was this black woman trying to, like, she was, you know, producing, directing, like, a horror movie. And she was saying how hard it was because white execs were, like, they couldn't fathom the fact that black women actually watch horror movies. They would actually ask her, like, you guys, you watch those horror movies? You black women like horror movies? Like, think about that. It's 2018. And some white guy's asking a black woman if black women like horror movies. Like, not trying to be a smartass either. Like, agape, like, I didn't know you guys watched those type of things.
That's, with all she had to say was, have you ever heard jokes about black women in horror movies? At horror movies? That's it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's usually the joke. So that's not something people just made up.
You know what I mean?
It's like, but there's a reason for that stuff. So that would be just, like, just discombobulating. Like, that goes into the thing I was telling you, man. It's a hard thing to process. Like, are you fucking around right now? Like,
they call it a bubble for a reason.
Oof. But I was going to say, it's hard. It's actually a hard industry for, one, women to get into, but then also the horror genre. There's not a whole lot of women directors in the horror genre, period. There's a documentary about Pet Sematary, and that was directed by a chick. And I'm like, what? And I guess that she said that's my most successful movie. So I was like, yeah, let that ride out for a while. But, well, since we're kind of on this topic anyways, you watched Black Lightning, right?
Yes, I did.
I enjoyed the shit out of that show. It was so different from all of the other CW shows. I actually understand why that's not, for now, considered one of the Arrowverse shows.
Yes.
And I hope it's not one of the Arrowverse shows, and they actually come up with a Black Lightning verse. We'll have to come up with a different name for it, but once Flash and Supergirl and all these things burn out, I hope this is still going and we get a different kind of universe out of this. A more mature one, and one with some poignancy as well. So,
yeah, it was funny when I was thinking about that. The first thought I was like, I can see why that's separate, because if you imagine you're Diggle and you show up and like hang around the Black, like, why am I wasting my time with Oliver Queen? It's like, it's a completely different vibe, and I just like the best way to describe it is kind of like a PG-13 Luke Cage that's a little less preachy. Like, it's not a show with black people, it's a black show. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's a difference. Like, you know, when the show start off and you're playing Nina Simone music, when you're playing Isaac Hayes, nothing like that's not accident. Like, it's a vibe they want you to get. It has black showrunners, it has black directors, but almost all of the cast for the most part is black, beside with Dexter's dad being Alfred, which is just funny just thinking that, like, this. And what makes the show different is that the fact that it's not the whole I'm a young guy trying to be a superhero or any of that stuff. It's adults. It's a guy that was already a superhero, gave it up, and is getting back in the game. So you don't have to worry about the origin story stuff and all of that, you know, teenage angst stuff. Like, we've talked about how the other CW shows still feel like a youngish vibe. This show feels like grown-ups doing grown-up things. And yes, you haven't seen that with CW. Like, and it definitely has a social vibe. Like, I know you made a joke saying the cops are like he's out of the 50s, but it's not high in the fact that, you know, like I said, a well-dressed man in a minivan with a suit and ties getting pulled over and a suspect in a robbery. Like, that's the type of lie. And he's like, had his incredulous face, like, really? That's the logic you're using? Like, that happens all the time. And kudos for that show saying, like, yeah, just because, you know, he may be a superhero, he's still a black man. In a place where it's like, that happens to black men. He has daughters that feel like women that really act like that. Those sisters feel like they talk like real sisters. They have those issues. Like, everything feels organic. Like, that fan, like, the vibe with him and his ex-wife is kind of like, you know, it's still love there. It's still, like, tension there, you know, everything like that. Like, that's not, you know, they're not playing that for, like, romantic tension. They're playing that, like, you know, what's going on? Like, we're two adults trying to figure things out. And he's making a whole concern of, like, you know, being a superhero broke up my family. I'm trying to get my family back. Like, you know, shooting people with lightning beams only got me so far. Like, do I really want to get back in the game? And it's like, his hand got forced. And they haven't talked this. They haven't had a story like that where it's kind of like, you know, why is he doing that? And it's one thing I like, because this commentary Roland Martin was there, and I laughed my ass off because he's there on the TV to interview, like, how come Black Lightning he's considered a vigilante and a criminal. And you got all these other guys, these other superheroes across town. They're not called like that. They're looked at as heroes.
Okay, like, so I caught that part, and I'm trying to think, is that supposed to be mentioning, like, the Flash and all that?
No. They already said, like, this is separate from somewhere else. That doesn't mean they don't have other superheroes.
Yeah. Well, remember, this used to be Atlanta, and now they changed it to, what, Freeland?
Yeah.
So,
Freeland.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, they kind of got away from the real-world city, so...
Yeah, you can always... They could always put it on the same Earth Supergirls on if they want. Like,
true.
Right now they have the freedom of kind of like we can keep it separate or we can add it with other stuff if we want to. But it's like you don't want to get tied down of how you want to have the show. It feels like I said, it feels like a growing up show, and it's not painting people like broad brushes and everything like that. And like even the villains, like the guy Lala, I like their interaction because he's like, you know, you do things your way, I do things my way. We're both trying to do the same things in different ways. And they could have easily just made him be like some scene chewing evil man. Like, he's still a villain, but like you can understand where he's coming from. Boy, but I know when he got hit that harpoon from Tobias Well.
Yes.
I was not expecting that.
No. Because, and that's, I don't know, maybe we should have, because the tone of this is deadly serious.
Yes.
I mean, there's those points, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because I couldn't articulate it, but the relationship between the daughters and the dialogue and how they acted with each other, it just felt natural. Where, I shouldn't compare it to Flash, but just hearing hearing Barry say to Iris, "We are the Flash," just makes me just cringe. And then you see these two one's a college student, the other one's a high school student, but seeing these two girls just bantering back and forth effortlessly, and I'm like, why can't the other shows do this? Like, actually give me someone real like these people. And then the big bad at the end, Tobias, oof. I'm like, oh, okay, well, because I forgot he was in this, and I expected, oh my god, I forgot his name already. Who was the drug guy?
Lala.
That's it. I expected him to be the guy for a little bit, especially once he escaped. But now they've kind of mixed it all together, and he's doing this, and I'm like, all right, cool. So in one episode, they set forth everything. I knew it was coming just based on the previews, but the daughter having powers...
I mean, in comics, both daughters have powers.
Yeah, well, that's a new thing, too.
Yeah, so I remember reading
I don't mind it, but I don't want this show... I want the show to be about Black Lightning. You can have the supporting cast in this and then get into having, you know, raise the daughter with her powers. Yeah. And the other one comes along, you know. But I guess that's the difference in this, is that he's an adult. Like, he's a grown-ass man who's already done this, got away from it. And who's to say, you know, just because it's called Black Lightning, he's obviously going to be in it doing stuff, but it doesn't mean he has to be in it doing stuff.
He's a grown-ass man that acts like a grown-ass man and carries himself like a grown-ass man.
Yes.
Like, not, I'm just grown, but I'm acting like a big man, baby, or a sidekick. Like, it's, and, you know, from what I've seen, I think the funny thing is, if you take out the superpower stuff, it would still work as, like, a drama. Like, it's a show first that happens to have superheroes, and it's not a superhero show. And that's also a distinct difference. I think it's kind of like they're having a slow build where they put you in the city that they're in, and they give you enough background story and have you care enough about the characters so you care about when stuff happens. Like, they want you to invest in the characters first, so when superhero stuff pops off, it's like, okay, it means something. Because it's funny where you think about them, like, you see them, you know, you see them bleeding and getting hurt and stuff, and it's like, it's this dichotomy where he's powerful as hell. Like, he's moving super fast. He can electrocute you if he wants. He can do all these things with electric powers. But at the same time, he's not bulletproof. You know, he can still get hurt. They make an effort showing him getting wounded. And maybe you can answer this question for me, because I didn't think about it until I thought about it, and I can't stop thinking about it. What is it where all these black people have electricity-based powers in comics?
Who else does? I mean, I'm Static.
Static Shock has it. Storm has it.
Well, Storm can control weather, though, so lightning's part of it.
But lightning is the main thing they show. They never focus on her blowing, like, wind.
That's
like,
true.
and it's kind of like they had a list, and it was, like, a lot of them. Like, some that was known, some well-known. And I know it's, like, the whole thing, like, you know, in comics, lightning is, like, a powerful thing you can draw, and it's, like, it's a spectacle. But it's just this whole thing where it's a lot. Like, it's a whole lot of black people that just have, you know, just walk around like batteries.
All right, so Black Lightning. All right, here's the thing. Black Lightning and Black Vulcan are the same character, except they were having a problem with the character. They, like, the guy, what was his name? Tony something. Tony Isabella. Yes, I know that. There was a problem or something to where they wanted to use Black Lightning on Super Friends. Well, he said no, and they were fighting over it, so they're like, well, screw it. They put a mask on him, changed the costume, and let him throw lightning bolts and called him Black Vulcan. But yeah. Everyone as a kid knew it was Black Lightning. We're not stupid. Static? Okay. I always thought Static was an answer because Black Lightning kind of faded in DC Comics. So when Milestone started up, and you obviously know what Milestone is, but for those who don't, Milestone was a... basically, was it a comic group? Our own comic company of all African-American creators and African-American characters. And people of color, too, right? It wasn't just African-Americans. But I always thought Static was supposed to be the analog to Black Lightning. But at the same time, make him a teenager, so he's more appealing. So they got, like, their Spider-Man of sort. And it worked, because Static is still, like, clamored by people. Never heard of Soul Power. I don't know who the hell Juice is.
This guy, as a matter of fact, is this character, and you both made a joke like, yeah, yeah, I know I'm a black guy. I have electricity powers. Yeah, I know that. Like, I don't know why it's a thing, but it's a thing. I don't know where it came from, yeah. But it's kind of like, it's just a weird thing. Like, I don't even know if it's a good or bad thing, but the fact that it's a thing just seems strange. Like,
yeah, that is weird.
Black people on lightning. Like, why? I can see the super strength thing and the bulletproof thing, like those tropes. But who's like, yeah, we're just walking batteries. Like, who decided that would be a...
stretch that out a little bit? Even Jon Stewart, the Green Lantern, it's kind of along those lines. He's still shooting, like, you know, you got your electric bolts, but he's still got a ring shooting. Maybe, I don't know, that's kind of a stretch, I guess. But anyways, yeah, I actually never heard of that before, and I just looked this up. It's on Geek Twins. I just put Black Superhero Electricity, and a bunch came up.
Yeah, it's been on. It'll come up on a few websites. Huh. Like it's a thing. So yeah, but beyond that, it's kind of like it's a good start. It got good ratings. Like,
good.
And the funny, yeah, and the real funny thing was just hearing first people complain because. It being there kind of like move legend. Like, they had the jury rig CW schedule because it's like Supergirl will be on for a little bit, then Legends will have its run, then Supergirl will come back. And it's kind of like people are blaming Black Lightning, and then it's like, oh.
That's fine.
Yeah, and it's like, and then it's like people watch the show, and you were saying, like, I wonder how people would feel. It's like probably the same way people kind of felt Luke Cage, where it's like, oh, it's a whole bunch of black people. What's this? Like, just playing black music, and like, so when it comes, and I've talked about it plenty of times, when it comes to science fiction nerd stuff, a lot of white media and white fans cannot handle black stuff or black culture. They just cannot handle it. Like, they can't wrap their head around it, and they just lose their damn minds. Like, I can accept somebody with three heads. I can accept if somebody could use telepathy, telekinesis. I can't accept a black guy with talking to a black woman with another black friend, and there's no white people in the room. Like, this just this disconnect where it's like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Magneto makes sense, but black people talking doesn't make sense. Like, it doesn't seem right to me. And it's, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to, like, review it. It's just, it's certain things, like, and we've talked about it all often, like, a good show can be a good show, but certain shows, like, if they're culturally based, if you're not in the culture, you may miss some stuff. That doesn't mean the show's bad or something's wrong with you. It's just kind of like, it's almost like those inside joke things where if you don't know what you're looking for, something may go over your head. And sometimes people just get real defensive over it because it's like, everything's supposed to be for me. How dare you make something that's not 100% for me? Like, 98% is still more than most people get, but if somebody's used to 100, 98 feel like 8.
Yeah. Well, what I was getting at was, well, the obvious parallels of... I'm trying to just, how to say it. But it's like the complaints, the history of police violence on African Americans. Mm-hmm. They did not, I mean, we already talked about it, they did not shy away from that. And it was actually brought up, you know, they had the obvious interaction, but then it was brought up later. And then, you know, I figured with the first scene, okay, said it again, I'm like, and maybe I'm just talking to you too much, but I'm like, oh, here we go. I can already hear the complaints. And then later, when he actually attacks the cops and then blows the cop car up, that's when I actually hit you up. Yeah. I'm like, how do you think people are going to react to this? And to be honest, I haven't seen anything, but yeah. That was my first thought was funny, yeah. Something's going to be brought up by those people.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that? Because you think about that, and you're like, oh, you know, it's a whole anti-cop thing. And then you know the fact, like, those shows and movies beat up cops all the time. Like,
yeah.
You know, I know, like, the time The Dark Knight came, Batman's working with the cops, but Batman Begins, he was, you know, he didn't have any issues, like, you know, fighting cops. Even in Dark Knight at the end, like, yeah, if I got to disable a cop and throw him off a damn building tied up, I'll do that to save the day. And, like, you know, Arrow has done that plenty of times himself. And it's just a whole vibe where, and I've made the joke when we talked about the Punisher. Punisher would look a lot different if he was black. Like, it would be a completely different show. Because people would be like a black guy walking around with a skull mask. Like, I'm taking the law in my own hands. And if I got to shoot somebody, I'm going to shoot somebody. Yeah, that would have a completely different vibe than it does. And it's kind of like, black vigilantes, you normally don't see that much because it's kind of like people have an issue with that. So you compare the first instance of, like, you know, Black Lightning, then when the cops was like, you know, I got these superpowers, I could murder these cops if I want, but it's like, I got my head down, I'm meek, I don't want anything to happen to my daughters. And, like, it's just like people wonder, well, why him do something? It's like, he's a black man before he's a black superhero. And like, you hear the speech, like, you know, this isn't the first time this happened to me. He said himself, like, why am I keep getting stopped? I'm the principal of a damn school in this city. Like, I'm like, what is going on? And, like, he's getting treated like everybody else. And you compare that to the second time, but, like, you know what? The hell with this. Like, enough's enough. Like, you know, I'm tired of you keep pushing my buttons. I'll push it back. And it's a damn impact because I'm like, you know, you knew it's coming, but it's still, it's a feeling where a lot of people would admit, it's a lot of people who wish they could do that. A whole lot of people, like, you know what, you keep messing with me just because I exist. How I feel when the shoe's on the other foot. And that's something, like, you aren't supposed to say out loud because the whole, you know, Blue Lives Matter, and we got to worship the cops, and the cops had such a hard thing about ignoring the other thing. And it's like, kudos to a CW show. Like, having the balls, like, you know what? You want to put this on here? Fine, we'll go to it. Because when you think about it, it's like, that's kind of ballsy to put on, like, network TV in this atmosphere.
Well, especially, it's a ballsy thing to put on as well, because your other competition is my crazy ex-girl, or not competition, but network mates, my crazy ex-girlfriend, Dynasty, Riverdale, which... You know, I'm not knocking that show, but it doesn't exactly follow the same, you know, but the same themes as Black Lightning.
Yeah, that show's in, that's like Twin Peaks land as far as how that show goes. So, but yeah, like all the other shows.
And in Black Lightning, like, wait, what? And I know some people, I read some reviews, and it was basically, hey, I just want politics taken out of my stuff. You know, this is escapism in this. I kind of get it, but at the same time, it's also a totally different show. So you can still have dopey Flash and Supergirl.
All those shows have politics in different ways. Because people complain about and it's kind of like people complain about Supergirl saying it's too feminist and why can't she just go? I was like, that's a thing. Like, people, you know what? People only complain about politics in their shows when it's not their politics. No one has a problem with Batman just walking around doing whatever the hell he wants via Manifest Destiny because it's like, well, he's right, so it works. Like, yeah, Batman's political as hell, too, because it's like, we've talked about, imagine if Jeff Bezos was like, you know what? I could create Amazon and help America, help the world, or I could just take my $100 billion, call up my man Elon Musk and use, like, Tesla technology and become a superhero. Like the hell with infrastructure. I'm just going to walk around and fight crime in Seattle. Like, you think that's bat crazy? Yeah, that's what Batman does. And it's like, oh, well, you know, he's doing what the cops can't do. And everything. Like, yeah, Batman's a political show. Superman is political. Most comics are political in nature. People just tend not to notice it because it's like, well, it's my politics, so it's fine. And we're just doing, you know, he's just punching things. Like, Spider-Man is insane to me. Have I ever told you that, how I felt about Spider-Man?
No, this is all new.
Okay, why the hell is Peter Parker broke? You trying to tell me a rich? You trying to tell me a white genius in New York City wouldn't find a way to get rich? Like, Peter Parker is a damn genius. He's handsome. He's in New York City. Ignore superhero stuff there. He's walking around. He's living in some little shack with his Aunt May. Like, I'm fighting purse snatchers. Like, what? Like, that makes the whole idea of Spider-Man never made any sense to me at all. It just seemed like it's just arrested development. People seem to have issues when he grew up. And I know they kind of took him back and, like, de-aged him more or less. Like, he's going to go back to be Spider-Man stuff instead of running the company. I'm like, shouldn't Peter Parker, that's hung with the Avengers, that's a genius, that looks the way he looks, wouldn't it make sense that he's, like, you know, running some company with his brain, like, making money? Like, what's the difference between him and Tony Stark?
No, yes.
Like,
well,
really, like, really, like, I mean, Tony Stark has, like, more, his parents are rich, yeah. And he has, like, you know, Head Start, and it's like, you know, but other than that, it's like, that never seemed, like, he's married to a supermodel, and he's walking around living like, I'm broke. Like, this, it always seemed like this whole childhood fantasy, like, you know, I got all these powers, but I never have to grow up.
Well,
and
I
know
part
a lot
of, was
and
he just wanted to be a photographer. Because remember that was his only job. Remember that? I don't. When did, like, the genius stuff really start?
I mean, the fact that he developed the web. I mean,
Web
fluid. Like, he did that. And he had. It's not like he got a patent. Like, he got funding from somebody. Like, he got an Apple grant. He created some super adhesive that can hold up a safe but dissolve in an hour. Imagine, you know how much people spent $20 million on a damn juicer. You trying to tell me he made web fluid and he wouldn't get rich? Like, he's that damn smart? I know it's kind of like you wouldn't think about that, but that's my whole thing. It's kind of like that's a whole idea of politics.
Yeah, no.
There's politics involved in comics. It's just if it's yours, you don't worry about it. And if it's like, if it fits your mindset, it's not an issue. Like, X-Men is probably one of the most political comics that's ever been out. And that's something that's established all the time. No one ever complains, though. And I always wonder, like, it's kind of like, why is that's not an issue? And it's, like, overt. Like, if you're black or you're gay, there's a lot of people, that's their favorite comics for a reason. Because, like, X-Men or me, they're going through the same stuff I'm going through. The difference is they can fight back. And people accept that. And they never have an issue with it. I don't get how you get, like, Black Lightning and Luke Cage. And it's, like, the whole thing, oh, why got to be a show? Why I got to talk about black stuff? I'm like, because they're black. And that's what black people go through. Shooting laser beams don't stop you from being black. Contrary. And I think the biggest issue is that the Marvel movies kind of like, they have politics too. Race and sexuality never is an issue. So when they, and that's like the dominant, like, comic thing. Like, you know, you never had to worry about, like, Falcon being black. Like, he was black, but, like, you never thought about that. Or War Machine. Like, James Rhodes walking around the symbol of America. No one ever found that funny? Like, a black guy's walking around, he's the Iron Patriot? Like, that just seems weird when you think about it. Like, it's just naturally accepted. They play it straight. And you know how you're talking about black, right? We've talked about this. It's going to be a lot of people that's going to watch Black Panther and be like, what the hell is this? And that's going to be when you think people are complaining like Black Lightning now, Luke Cage before. Wait till they see it on the big screen.
True. Well, That is well. It is what Marvel's Which is funny because I just pulled up Fandango because I forgot to buy my tickets already, so hopefully there's good showtime still. That's Marvel's highest selling pre-orders, right?
Yeah.
Or pre-ticket sales, excuse me. Is Black Panther, which doesn't surprise me in the least bit. Marvel movies are successful now, and it kind of goes back to the black woman directing a horror movie. That it's like, who do you think goes to see all these movies? Who in this in our country alone? Who do they think is going to see these movies? Everybody.
You know, yeah, but you know why I was surprised, though.
No, I understand that. I know I'm kind of, like, trivializing it. But at the same time, how the hell is Black Panther, a guy that you put in one movie so far, who had a huge part in that movie, then you go, all right, we're going to make that, and you've barely had any predominantly black characters. You had him, Roddy.
Falcon, that's it.
Falcon, thank you. I was just like, that can't be it. Well, and that's kind of the problem, too. But it's like, so now... You know, you've kind of made all these others. Doctor Strange did gangbusters money. Ant-Man did better than they thought. So you get those two goofy bastards, and then you've got Black Panther, who was cool as hell in Civil War. That it seems to me. Obviously, I'm gonna be in the minority here. But it seemed like a total no-brainer that this was gonna be a total success, and just based off of the early ticket sales, it's going to be. And because you made the movie cool as hell looking to begin with.
Guess what? You're already going to have the whole thing, because people are already, they're still underestimated. They're like, oh, you know, people, estimates think it may make $70 to $80 million. I'm like, y'all have no goddamn clue how successful this movie is going to be.
Wait,
I can't wait to hear the story.
Opening weekend?
No, opening weekend.
Okay.
I'm like, nah, like, y'all, I'm like, y'all, and the whole thing is like, we're still doing this. People don't realize, if you make cool black movies, white people follow. Because white people like being cool, too. We haven't learned a lesson. Like, people have learned a lesson, like, with Wonder Woman, you make something good, women will go see it, and then women go see it, the kids will see it, and the parents will see it, and their boyfriends see it. Like, this whole, it may do mildly well. I don't think it's going to make $100 million. That movie's going to make gangbusters. And everybody's going to come out saying, wow, I was surprised this movie did so well. Why? Like, it's a Marvel movie with that's cool as hell coming out in Black History Month with an all-black movie. What do you think going to happen? Like, every goddamn black person in America is going to be there to go see the movie. All these white people are going to wonder, like, I need to find out what's going on. Like, you know, people didn't learn from Fast and Furious? Like, most of their money comes from black people, Latin people, and Asian people. Like, they clean up, and then, like, oh, I want to get left behind. I want to see what's going on. Like, people still don't learn. They're still making the same mistake. They think it's going to be like Doctor Strange, or no. That movie's going to make $120 easy. Like, easy. Like, it's coming out, and, like, it's not an accident that's coming out during Black History Month. Marvel knows exactly what they're doing. They're going to hype the hell out this movie. Black people already expect, like, the whole fact, like, this movie, this character was in here, and the only reason he was in Civil War as much as he was is because they got Spider-Man late. Like, because had things played a different way, he would have barely been in the movie. But it's like, it's this character, you've seen him in one thing, and it's everybody like, I can't wait to see this. I can't wait to see this movie. Because, like, it looks awesome, it looks amazing, and it looks completely different from anything Marvel's done. And why people underestimate it, because people always underestimate black people in movies. Like, and I thought about that with Eddie Murphy. Coming to America made a whole lot of money, and people were shocked, like, how did this movie make so much money? It's like, this is black movie with this African stuff. It's like, because black people see movies, and white people like seeing stuff that black people see. Like, they want to be cool, too. It's like, you make a... It's not this whole... And it's amazing how many times it keeps happening. People still act shocked and amazed. Oh, I don't know how this happened. Like, Denzel been walking around carrying movies by himself for 20 years. Will Smith was the biggest movie star for a damn decade. The Rock is the biggest movie star walking now. Yet, we still have this story about this whole... I'm surprised that a black movie made money. Yeah, keep on being surprised. Like, I can't let, because we're going to be doing a show in February after we see it. We're going to be bringing out the box office. We're going to go on the internet and say, oh, well, critics thought it may, sources thought it might was going to make $75-80 million, and it's just, I'm just shocked and amazed it did so well. I have no idea. I wonder what it can be. Maybe Hollywood will learn something. Hollywood's not going to learn a damn thing.
You also wonder,
if they haven't learned by now, they're not going to learn.
Do you think that, like, the people who are forecasting this, do you think any of them work for Disney? Or do you think Disney's just sitting there going, here's another one that's going to make more than people think?
Yeah, no, Rivals has come and said, like, Disney hasn't said anything yet. And Disney tends to be kind of like, they tend to underestimate the safe side. Because think about Thor. That movie way up. Like, Ragnarok made it way more than people thought it was going to be. It's like, oh, you know, it looks different. It's cute and all. But, you know, I mean, it's still a Thor movie. Like, how much money is expected to make? And it's like, yeah, you make a great movie, and it's a Marvel movie, people go see that. And that's Thor. And that's something that people have, like, seen. And it's kind of like people haven't looked at. Guess how much you think that movie's made?
What, Thor?
Without looking at, like, oh, yeah, the last one.
It's got to be, what, $200-300? I'm guessing that's a low estimate.
Made $850 million.
Because I was going to say, it made almost $120 million or something like that at opening weekend, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm also distracted because I'm trying to find Black Panther tickets, and I don't know if you can hear me grunting on the other end here because all the good seats are taken, and I'm not pleased. So, anyways.
Like, I brought my seats. Like, it was the 8th highest grossing movie that of 2017. Yeah, Thor. A movie like the first, people like, oh, I'll see this to see it. Like, out of all the solo Marvel movies, it's kind of like Thor's been the redheaded stepchild. And that movie made almost $900 million. Like,
Jesus.
Black Panther's going to be people still don't learn. Like, I would have figured that people would learn their lesson with Wonder Woman. It's like, you give somebody something that they, because it's like, you give a star audience something that they want that's just good, they will bend over backwards to give you their money. Like, and we still keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And it's just frustrating. And as I laugh, thinking about movie things, like when I brought up The Rock, Jumanji's made more than Justice League.
Making more than Justice League isn't a surprise, but that being Rock's highest grossing movie Fast and Furious is crazy to me.
Yes.
But I don't know what I was expecting either, like what the top to be. So
no one expected that. That movie, and not only that, that movie came out the same time Star Wars came out. Mm-hmm. And by like week three, it was making more than, like, it's been number one 3 weeks in a row, and it's probably going to be number one this weekend. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, no one expected it. It's kind of like you make good stuff and people see it. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. And it's a thing. Like, when it's white people, that's no problem. When it's everybody else, people are just shocked in them. It's like, how did that happen? It's like, because white people like watching black people too. It's not just black people. You think Denzel Washington became Denzel Washington because black people only went to see his movies? Like, Tyler Perry is black as hell, and I go to his movies, there's plenty of white people and Latin people that have seen his movies. And that's Tyler Perry. And it's like, I'm looking like, huh? It was like two-thirds white. And I'm just looking here, and I'm just like, this didn't seem like it fit. Like, I joked with you when I went to see The Color Purple.
Oh, yeah.
Whole bunch of white people. Yeah. Full of white people. Mostly old white people. And they're there enjoying themselves, clapping, having a good time. It's like, they like good entertainment. Like, entertainment can be black, but it's like, it's still colorblind. Like, if you make something good, people go see it. But Hollywood execs are like, oh, we got to throw a white guy in there, so otherwise white people might be afraid, because white people might shoot the screen, and everybody run out this light. Run out the theater. Like, I don't know what's going through their minds, but yeah.
I know we got other stuff to talk about, but let's save it. I think that's a good place to stop for the first show back. I will say real quick, I just wanted to mention that Den of Thieves movie, because every time I see the preview, and if I'm not paying attention, out of the corner of my eye, I immediately go, what did Ice Cube do to his face? His kid looks so much like him. He just looks like Ice Cube with plastic surgery. And I'm like, what's he doing?
Why is Ice Cube using CG?
Yeah. And then I go, oh, God, that's right. That's his kid. Never mind. So,
It's funny that that shit on Compton got like three of the people in that movie are all in movies and shows. Like they're all working because him, the guy that played Eazy-E, and the guy that played Dr. Dre are all like getting work. No, I laugh every time I see Den of Thieves because one is kind of like, of course, it's a Gerard Butler movie because that's like he's the king of like he's the B movie king. Like that's what he does. And of course, I'm surprised him and 50 Cent haven't been in a movie together before. And the other guys like. The guy, what's his name, Hollow Shriver. He was the guy that was in American Gods, like Mad Sweeney. And it's okay, so I'm saying that. He's also the guy's in The Wire. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, wait a second. Like, it's funny, like, who hasn't been in The Wire that's done something? Because I'm a bigger Wire fan as anybody. And I forgot he was in The Wire. Like, he looked a lot different. Like, he was probably 30 pounds lighter, had black hair, and he was like in season 2 of The Wire. So to see him pop up doing stuff, because he's like, what, 6'4", 6'5", like he's a tall dude. And it's like, he's Lee Shriver's brother.
I know I said we're going to end the show, but on that, is The Wire, has The Wire produced more like known actors for a TV show no one watched? Because it was not a big hit for HBO at all. They just kept going because they liked it. But now you see all these guys like, oh, he's in The Wire. He's in The Wire. He was in The Wire. And you're like, I mean, I still have not seen The Wire. And
I'm so mad. I'm so mad at you that you haven't. It's only 10 episodes a season. So
I know,
it's
but
easy
I
watch.
Got, I'm right now, in all honesty, I am in this bad 80s horror movie tunnel. I don't know how I got here, but I keep searching them out. So in the last week, I've watched Death Spa, Sleepaway Camp was last night, Pieces, which is one of my favorite movies, because it's for the idiocy of it. What the hell else we watch? Slumber Party Massacre, and just all the, they're not good movies. They're just bad, but I can't get away from them. I don't know what happened. So even though I could be watching like The Wire or whatever else to catch up, like Black Mirror, I want to get into that. Any of that stuff. Now, I watched... actually, this isn't a horror movie, but I watched The Doomed, the documentary about the Fantastic Four, the original Fantastic Four movie. Like, I don't know how I got here, but I'm stuck right now. So, hopefully it'll go away soon. Anyways, but The Wire, though, every single time someone's like, yeah, they were on The Wire. And it's like, that's incredible to me that a show that barely anybody watched originally. I know... Now people have gone back to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a show when, like, in hindsight, like, oh, because it was kind of like, it was too real.
Yeah.
That was the thing. It's kind of like, and I think it was like a show ahead of its time where, had it came out later, everybody would have watched that show. But, like, before when it came out, I was like, nah, it's too raw. Like, it was just felt too raw and stuff. And, like, now, and when you think about, like, everybody, like, if you turn on a television show, within you just flick the channel. Within 5 minutes, you'll see somebody that's on The Wire. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, Walking Dead's had plenty. Like, probably 4 or 5. Like, Game of Thrones, Gotham. Like, I can't find a show that hasn't had, like, a popular show that hasn't had at least one person on The Wire. Just the fact where it's like, Idris Elba and Michael B. Jordan, some of the big movie stars out there, they both won The Wire.
Wait. Michael B. Jordan? Johnson? Right.
Yes. Michael B. Jordan was on, yes, young teenage Michael B. Jordan was on The Wire. In a tragic role, got shot by his friend. Yes, that's where he started at.
Wow.
That's it. Littlefinger came from The Wire. He was the mayor of Baltimore, ended up becoming the governor. Like, yes. When I say everybody was on The Wire, everybody was on The Wire.
Because I know The Walking Dead's had a couple people on as well. Mm-hmm. The guy played Tyrese, and also Father Gabriel.
Yes.
And I think there was somebody else, too.
It's been a few. Sometimes it's hard to keep track. Like, that's how many, like, it's so many people that's been on there where it's just, like, you can't even keep track. Like, that tells you how great a show is, because even that show hasn't been on for a long time, and it's kind of like, oh, such and such on The Wire. Like, that's, it's not like that show just ended. Like, that show's been ended for a while, and it's like, oh, I remember you from The Wire a decade ago. Like, Method Man was known for acting from The Wire. And, like, to the point where he got movies and TV shows. Like, he's on The Deuce. Like, like some people from the Deuce were from The Wire, because, you know, like I said, David Simon and like that, and it's kind of like that show almost feels, I always like that show feel like a prequel to The Wire, like it has that same vibe and feel, but it's different where people, like, people are ready for that thing, and it just shows, like, one, it's weird seeing Maggie Gyllenhaal just play like a rundown prostitute. Like, it's just funny how well it fits. It's like, that's Rachel from Batman. And she out there, like, turning tricks, looking all worn down and tired. And two, for all the outside stuff with James Franco, when he wants to be, he's a hell of an actor. Like, I will give him credit. Like, he's almost kind of like too much of a tryhard. But when he's in the right stuff, yeah, I can see why he gets the stuff he gets. So, yeah, like you said about The Wire, like, The Wire has a legacy that when people talk about, like, you know, Sopranos and stuff, I'm like, Sopranos was great when it came out. It didn't really age all that well, and most of those people did not get jobs when The Sopranos was over. Like, a few did, but most of them was like, oh, well, yeah, such and such. Like, his kids, what they done since then?
Yeah.
Like, Tony Soprano stole it from the show. Like, yeah. Like, Edie Falco was on Nurse Jackie. It was like, Lorraine Bracco was getting nominated for all that stuff, and she didn't do anything after that. You know, it's like a few get roles here and there, but it was like, oh, such and such a Soprano became a star. It's people from The Wire became movie stars. Like, multiple people from The Wire became movie stars. Or, like, I can get movie work whenever I want. So, that tells you, like, and it's almost kind of like on a lower level. We made a joke about Spartacus. Think about all those people from Spartacus that showed up in the Arrowverse. Like, just people getting jobs and just getting work. It's kind of like, what, they... Nope. Like, I always wonder how did that happen. Like, how this show that was in New Zealand, it's kind of like, is Greg Berlanti friends with Xena's husband in real life? What's his name? Rob Talbert? Like, how they were, oh, I need an actor. Send me Crixus. I need somebody to be Deathstroke. And that works. Send me this guy. Send me that guy. Because it's like, you look at Spartacus, and beside the Jai Courtney joke we always make, it's like, what's her face? The woman that played Amanda Waller. She does TV shows and movies. Mm-hmm. And she was a replacement for somebody else on Spartacus. It's like, they had a damn murderous row of people. And probably their best actor was the one that was the original Spartacus that died because he had cancer. Which is a sad-ass thing.
What a great way to end the show. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. We're back. We'll be back on schedule going forward now, it appears. And, yeah, so Stunt Granny on social media. Search for We Watch Stuff. Stunt Granny for the podcast. I know Kevin and Ken have been pumping out in our absence with the OPA shows. Those two find some weird subjects to talk about, that's for sure. Then there's the Stunt Granny flagship. That is the wrestling show, if you like wrestling. Kevin hosts that most times with Chris. Shahid and I interrupt every once in a while. But I think with WrestleMania season, we'll probably be on a lot more if you like listening to both of us or just either one of us. So give those a listen. I'm out, and we'll get you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Adohadi, and if I ever have a superpower, I hope it's not lightning. We are out.